This is GKW. Welcome to a special edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Post Raw on Netflix. It's just wrapped up and, shockingly, at a decent hour. Only took about 3 hours for the first ever Raw on Netflix. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. Crew tonight is Brian Rhodes from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. Fellas, what were your initial reactions as they faded to black on the first ever Raw on Netflix?
Gabe, you start.
Well, I mean,
we all watched it.
So honestly, my favorite moment was Hogan getting booed out of the building. Like, it was honestly my favorite thing that happened all night, and that's not a reflection on how good of a show it was, because it was fantastic. But like, Hogan, when I first saw that Hogan was going to be making an appearance, and I think we all put this together after the press release came out about the Real American Beer and the partnership with WWE. Okay, he's going to make an appearance. He comes out, he got booed out of the building, man. And it was, I just thought it was hilarious. And I felt vindicated because we had an opportunity to get Hulk Hogan to promote his beer on this program a few months back. We passed. I feel vindicated.
Yes, it's the best thing for everybody that Hogan got booed. And of course, at this age, it's no way he could have healed off and just been like, hey, you know, what you gonna do? What about me? I'm Hulk Hogan. He didn't do that. And the reason why is because he had a beer to sell. And it is true. We had a chance to have Hogan on the show. I know he's iconic and he's had a lot of, you know, great wrestling moments, but he can't remember any of them. So there's no reason for him to be on GKW. But I just think that once again, Brian, it just shows you that of all the shows that we watch in professional wrestling, nobody's able to capture the moment and to be able to have a star-studded event like the WWE. That open, you talk about The Rock with his, you know, goosebumps, just watching how the WWE talked about their past, going back to Jess McMahon, talking about, you know, Vince Sr., Vince Jr., as far as the organization is concerned, how they built from the 40s and where they are right now to the Netflix era. I just thought that the open just set the tone for the entire night. But again, all the stars are there. Everybody that loves WWE is there in Los Angeles. And it just shows you, you know, how big WWE is when it comes to these.
Yeah, I mean, we even got a Topanga appearance. So, you know, shout out to 90s kids getting to see that. But an awesome job.
But also, like, Will Friedle was right next to her, and they just ignored him. He was also on that show.
That was rude, yes. You got to shout out Eric Matthews
on the show. Yeah.
It's Eric Matthews.
Guys, it was a busy night. They had so many stars. The camera's going left and right. Just trying to get everybody. And it was tough.
McCulley, like, and then, hey, he got a bigger pop than Hogan.
He got a huge pop. One of the stars of the night. And that's the thing. Like, this show did seem to fly by. It was WWE. And, you know, we talk about the differences between the companies. You got your share of wrestling. The main event was actually Rollins and Punk. We talked about that on Thursday. We didn't think that was going to happen. We got that. Rollins is bleeding. It's a good match in the main event. Like, it was a fun show. The WWE knows how to WWE. That's what it comes down to.
Which, of course, meant Roman had to go first.
Right, yeah, yeah. Rock was gone by 8:30.
Yeah, which, of course, Rock, Roman, they decided to go first. But, I mean, just to your point, Hood, even just the presentation, and they put out the cold open earlier today that I'm sure so many people saw on social media that they then played. But then the reveal of the curtains coming up and Hunter being underneath that to hype everybody up. They have a different way of presenting it. And I think we knew there was going to be a little bit of a different look based on the blue mat we saw in SmackDown on Friday night and, you know, black mats and even the officials looked a little bit different as they had different officiating shirts, just a completely different look than really what anything we're used to seeing with WWE. So I think the presentation really set it apart. And obviously the crowd was hyped up to be there. Everybody was hyped that was on the show and got to wrestle on the show. It was, I mean, it was a well put together card, but I think we were expecting this, you know, we were expecting a big spectacle and it was closer to a PLE than a regular Monday Night Raw. You still had your promos from The Rock and Cena and a couple of different interview segments, but this was not a typical episode of television for WWE. I truly believe the Netflix era kind of starts next week where we start getting into the rhythm of what a regular show and the regular rhythm of those shows is going to look like. But that doesn't take away from tonight and the way they were able to put it together.
Yeah. Hey, before we talk about the card, actually, you know, all three of us are not only into being on the air, but also the production end of it. Definitely, bro, it's from that standpoint. The mics enhanced, where you got a chance to hear Solo Sikoa talk to Roman Reigns. You heard from Drew McIntyre and others where the mics were enhanced. I just thought that it's something about Netflix, the stereo effect. It just sounds even more enhanced to me than just a regular cable show. So the geek in me really enjoyed the whole production of it. But
when you're getting paid the money you're getting paid by Netflix, I think you can afford a couple more microphones to get the things that you're talking about, Hood.
And I think also, to your point on production, like the way they presented things, like the word shoot was in the open. Hearing that, and then even Michael Cole all night, it was almost Raw 101. It was like, that's Jimmy Uso. He's the cousin of Roman Reigns. Like trying to explain to all these new viewers of the GTS, the go to sleep, that's CM Punk's finisher. So they dumbed it down for a lot of people. They tried to welcome everyone in. It was different, but it worked.
But I mean, it had to be.
I'm just glad that, you know, WWE realizes, hey, we're in the Netflix era. We could step up even more than we already do from a technological standpoint, from a television standpoint. And I'm going to make a prediction, and maybe it's just the first night, but it just feels like to me that SmackDown is going to still be like that TV. It's going to be PG, but Netflix, well, that's a different story because I never seen anyone smoke a blunt before. And that was Travis Scott. Explain that to your kids, pal. I mean, that's just way. And by the way, I'm not offended by it. I'm just saying that it wouldn't be some. I mean, you heard bullshit from Rock, not bleeped. And so I feel like Netflix is going to be different from SmackDown, and rightfully so. It's just where we are.
The FU solo chants that were ringing loud and clear during that match as well. Like that's, you know, USA or Fox. Make sure they've got to, you know, kind of censor that the best they can. Netflix doesn't have to worry about that. Maybe they try to fix it in post, or there's an option if you can go back and watch it that's a little more censored or kid-friendly if they want to keep it around the PG. But at least night one, they were letting it fly. They were letting it go.
I did notice it said TV PG when I launched it. So I don't know if they're going to try to stick to that or if there's a different flexibility when it comes to Netflix, but they let some stuff fly, definitely.
Yeah, and by the way, that's okay because you can tell the story like this is Netflix. On Netflix, you can see anything, but if you're on the USA Network, a little bit more family friendly. But look, I'm not offended by any of it. I just think that when it comes to Netflix, I think the world's your oyster. You can go as wide open as you want because, hey man, you're trying to be as close to reality as possible.
So as far as the content from the show, kicking off with that Rock promo, which was, I mean, truly the first thing that actually kind of kicked everything off. This kind of confirms he's not wrestling at Mania, right? Because he was very gracious. It wasn't the final boss Rock, despite him being in the final boss gear, getting the final boss entrance. I mean, he shouted out Cody Rhodes for carrying the company for the last 12 months. You know, and then Rock at the end, he's the one who, you know, rips the Ulufala away. He's the one who presents Roman Reigns with it. And the way they shot it, you know, you could see Rock in the background. Okay, is he going to attack? Is he going to? Never did. Kind of feels like The Rock was there because this was a big deal. The same reason that Hulk Hogan was there. Same reason that The Undertaker was there. Because this is a big deal. And he's clearly still a part of what this company is. He's on the board of TKO. But it doesn't feel like he was there to set up anything for WrestleMania or anything for any time soon.
Well, let's keep our eyes on it now. You know, I'm not looking, I don't think this is a Vince Russo swerve situation, but let's keep our eyes on it. I know that when The Rock came out and presented the Ulufala to Roman Reigns and he stood in the corner,
I
kept watching. Is Rock going to do something here? What's happening here? And it's like, he was just very cool with it. I feel like this is not the last time we're going to see The Rock.
Especially when Roman was celebrating, pointing the finger to the sky, the way it was just basically like waist up. I'm like, okay, they're shooting this to hide the fact that The Rock is coming and The Rock never came to attack.
But then even after that, like Rock and Heyman did a sort of like patting the chest to each other. Like it felt like they just ignored all of last year. Like that was sort of disappointing.
For now, you know how wrestling is. Like, I don't know between now and WrestleMania what's going to happen there, but it's just everything seemed cool, and it seems like it's set up for something else. Hey, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm looking for the shooting drop. So we'll see. But I liked it. As far as the matchup is concerned, So it's for the Ulafala, and I've said many times on Good Karma Wrestling that I feel like, you know, the Ulafala is as important as the Undisputed Championship because it means so much to the family, the Polynesian and Samoan family. And, of course, Roman Reigns comes out on top. Physical matchup, there's a lot more wrestlers that are involved in this matchup than I thought. Didn't expect Kevin Owens to come out there with some interference out of nowhere. And then we get a battle between Cody and KO. You got a Sami Zayn. You got the Usos. Bloodline 2.0. So it was just fall to roll everywhere. So much going on. But ultimately,
and
Roman
to your
wins
point,
the
we saw the Ulafala significantly more than we saw the world titles tonight. You got a pre-tape from Gunther, and you got some little bits of Cody. But the Ulafala got almost his whole first hour.
Yeah, because, I mean, that match didn't start until... what, 8:30 Eastern? Like it was.
By the time Dwayne was done, yeah.
Yeah, by the time they got done with everything, and they had a good little run. This was exactly what minus the Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes portion of it. It's pretty much exactly what I expected, and that's a good thing. Like, yeah, it was a tribal combat, which means one thing and one thing only: lots of interference.
Yes, there's no question about that. You know, if you show a fan for the first time, like, hey, sit down and watch this on Netflix, man, if you show them for the first time, they think, oh, is Gunther the champion? Right. Because he's the one that had the long vignette. And by the way, it was fantastic. It was perfectly done. Why? Because he looked like a wrestler from 1960. That's black and white. The only color was the championship. I mean, it was a great presentation.
Well, the presentation and then the line that he had of, yeah, all these people have their personal issues. Not me. I'm the world heavyweight champ.
Well, that's the thing. Aren't we? We're only supposed to have one of the titles on Raw on Netflix, right? Like, it's going to be Gunther, we think? Yeah.
Guessing that, especially for the time being, because Netflix probably wanted Cody Rhodes. He's one of the biggest, most recognizable names in professional wrestling. Guys are going to float, right? Like, it's the way they're going to, at some point, they're going to pretend that the brand split matters. They're going to have another draft here sooner rather than later. And then, I don't know, 4 months after the draft, we're going to see guys floating right now. I believe the portal is still open right now in WWE. So guys can just kind of float back and forth, but that's just the way it's going to be, I think, in the early Netflix era. Anybody that they can get on the show, they're going to try to get on the show if they can make it make sense.
And leave your comments on YouTube or on Twitter, X, at GKW_wrestling. That's where you can follow us. And of course, make sure you like, share, and subscribe for what we do on YouTube, because we're on every Thursday on Good Karma Wrestling. So as far as Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan's concerned, guys, I mean, Rhea Ripley retains a switching of the women's championships on Friday and now on Monday. At Tiffy time, she's able to cash in. That's funny. I thought the champion's supposed to be on her feet before they ring the bell for the cash in. Not the case, though. But in this situation, Rhea Ripley is able to beat Liv Morgan. So now I'd like to see how that story
evolves. It's done?
I think so. Because now that moves on to someone else.
Rhea can start her build towards Mania with someone. Hell of a pop for Tiffy, by the way, when they showed her on screen tonight. But I think Rhea and Liv, it's done. It served its purpose. She took out Dom at the end. Rhea gets the Taker rub or the interaction. Like, that was weird.
I mean, she didn't need it.
That's cool.
No, yeah, she did not.
I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Right, that's cool. Found a way to get Taker involved with the show. Why not? Yeah.
It's so funny. You know, we can't let go of Taker on the bike. Taker really didn't like that persona too much. Well, he still liked the original Undertaker.
That's what he wants to do now because he doesn't want to show up as like the dead man, right? But he still wants to take WWE money for the appearances, right? So you've got one of two options. You got to show up as the dead man, or you show up as the American badass. And he's made the decision that the American badass is the one he shows up as.
Well, let's keep it a buck. He didn't want him to take that long walk. That's why he took the bike.
Hood is more of a Mean Mark fan. He wants to see Mean Mark come back. That's what he's looking for.
Mean Mark! One fall. Well,
and you want to see stunning Steve Austin. So, yeah, right. You know, that's we can't always get what we want.
Well, Hey, that guy can work. Yeah. He didn't have knee braces. That guy can work. Oh, that was cool though. It's good to see Undertaker back out there, man. And you know, that was awesome. And so now the question comes. So hey, John Cena. So you say you're not going to win a championship again?
Psych.
But yet you're going to enter the Royal Rumble.
Psych.
Huh. I thought that was good. I liked how they did that. And acknowledging it's been over 2,200 days since he's won a match. I knew it was long. I didn't realize it was that long.
That's been my favorite part of when he has come back, is the way that they have kept track of that, the way that they have marked that. Yeah, he's won other matches, you know, but he hasn't won a singles match in that long. And I think that's just going to be a really interesting part of this whole story, because I mean, if he goes on and wins the Royal Rumble, which I believe I've seen in different places, he is one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to do so. Even if he wins the Royal Rumble, you can continue that story. Okay, you won the Royal Rumble. You got you cashed in your lottery ticket, but you still haven't won a singles match in God knows how long. So that's something that they can do if Cena does indeed go on to win the Royal Rumble.
I would prolong it. I wouldn't have him win the Rumble. He could be the last one thrown out, but like add to it. Maybe he has to go through elimination chamber. Like there are so many possibilities, and him acknowledging the rumors, like again, pulling back that curtain, like that was weird to hear of like, hey, might face this guy, might face that guy. I think you can stretch out the losing streak and whether or not he's going to win the title, which I think he should during this year.
If he wins championship number 17, do you think they should do it the way that Sting did it, where he wins it and then retires and then he's out? Or do you do it like they did in AEW with Bryan Danielson, win it, go on a little bit of run, and then give somebody a rub on the way out by going out old school on your back?
And which championship? Right. Gunther's title, right?
I have no idea the lineage, if that matters, which one is which at this point. Both those matches are money. Not Cena, Cody's Gunther, title. Cena, Cody. Like, those are matches you pay to see.
I think I'd rather see Cena, Gunther.
Cena, Gunther would be Cena's last match.
How is that? How is that everybody's last match?
He will
die.
He would, because he will kill you.
Gunther's gonna kill you.
He will die.
Gunther's gonna kill you.
Yes, that's it. Hey, is it three of us in the front row?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. We get the crowd going. Let's go. Let's go. Absolutely. That'd be right up our alley. So it's great to see Cena kind of figuring it out by himself, doing his own promo. That's just funny. Just like, hey, 1 + 2, hey, maybe
he hadn't thought about potentially entering the Royal Rumble before he stepped in the ring tonight. Oh, wait a second.
I need to map some things out before I fully throw it out on a GKW. So catch us on Thursdays. But Cena dropping a title to Sammy would be pretty cool. They had the previous interaction. Sammy threw out his arm. I mean, I'm going to test some things out, but just, you know.
Just, this is a half-baked take that you're just going to throw out after Raw on a Monday? Sure. Just I get you.
Wait, Brian, we're in front of a new audience.
I want them to hear it first that it was tested out when Sammy Uso wins the title over Cena. You're welcome.
Bro, he's never going to change who he is.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine, but we're trying to keep viewers and listeners on GKW. You and your half-baked Sami Zayn takes.
That's what I'm here for.
Right. Drew McIntyre against Jey Uso. By the way, I have something to admit to you. Gabe, I want to admit something to you. First time ever. When Uso comes out, I eat. I do. It's a hell of an exercise.
Man, Michael Cole was winded.
Oh, my God.
Cole was gassed. He was so gassed.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I'm just happy for him. Because he could have done that in the Vince era. He could just get on a table with Pat McAfee and just start eating, gets the crowd into it. It's just, yeah. I've seen Tessitore do it. It's awesome because it gets the crowd going. And then you got a really, again, solid match for Jey Uso.
Oh,
gets
careful,
the backdoor win against
Drew McAfee. If you start complimenting Jey Uso in ring, Broitz gets upset.
It was a good match.
I thought it was a really good match. I love the way it ended. I love the different, because again, it's a little bit different than the traditional, you know, because we saw, you know, the multiple false finishes in the main events, And I feel like a lot of times in pro wrestling, when we get bigger matchups, even on something like this, where it's a super card, you get a lot of those false finishes, and the false finish kind of, I don't know, loses its luster a little bit. And then you have just, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was basically a roll-up, right? He misses, and he's able to pin his shoulders down. It's a little more old school, and being able to mix that in with everything else you had throughout the course of the night, I thought it was a great ending. And because it's a sneak attack and it can continue that storyline, clearly Drew McIntyre's still going to be pissed off. I really enjoyed the ending of that match. I thought it was really well done.
And it makes Drew McIntyre even more pissed off. And so in a Hangman Page type way, he's going to be even more unhinged, right? It's like he loses another match. It's like, okay, now I'm going to really go after somebody. And so the crowd goes home happy, but also it enhances Drew McIntyre, and we'll see what he does next. So I like that match a lot. It was
very, very well done. Fans going home happy, the faces won every match, right? Roman, Rhea, Jay and Punk.
Well, I mean, I guess Punk and Rollins are both faces right now.
Sure.
So that now there's a twist. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, we heard the whoa chants for Seth Rollins. So this is one of those situations again in WWE is right. Blank is right. Like Kevin Owens is right when it comes to Cody Rhodes. Kevin's right 100%. And so he became a little bit unhinged, but the point is his premise, he's right.
He's still right.
Listen, when you start going after Cody and package pile driver trying to break someone's neck, I mean, but the premise, he is correct. He laid it out perfectly. Same thing with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins believed that he's right when it comes to CM Punk. And so I like that. And I literally like this match where you got Seth Rollins doing a couple of GTSs, Punk also, you know, doing a pedigree. So I like both of them doing each other's finishes. It felt like it was a deserved main event.
The emotion was there. I think Rollins comes out of this as the heel. I don't think the loss really hurts him. Punk shows that he can go, which like we don't see a lot of since he re-signed with the WWE. Hopefully he comes out, knock on wood, is healthy after this, but really fun main event and hopefully hooks some new fans.
How much longer does this go on? Because this doesn't feel like it was the conclusion of a feud. It feels like it could potentially be just the beginning of a feud if they want to tweak it, or if, you know, maybe they kind of just go their separate ways, but then Royal Rumble, they both enter, knock each other out, and continue down that line.
Yeah. Fight forever. Is this a Mania match?
Sure.
Yeah. So I mean, one I'd of be the fine nights. With that. I don't know if mean, it is.
It could be.
Because it's not a main event Mania match.
It very well could be. No, it is not.
No. But fight forever, though, because, okay, so Punk won tonight, but Rollins is going to be pissed. Right. He just can't let it alone. We heard the story from Michael Cole. Shout out to him. He laid it out like no one else could lay it out, giving Seth Rollins' government name of Colby Lopez.
I know.
Holy smokes. Holy cow.
Can you imagine if he did that when Vince was around?
Do you think that?
God damn it.
Like, has anyone checked in Vince tonight? Is he still with us? Hogan got booed, and Cole gave Seth's real name. Okay.
Yes. And don't forget, now here's one thing that would kill Vince. The black mat. He loved the white pristine mat with nothing on it. I mean, it was Prime on it once, right? But you got all these Netflix advertisements like the Tyson fight. I'm sure Vince is dying someplace. Just at that black mat. Oh, God. I mean, he's dying. He hated that. He loved the white pristine mat.
Well, just think about what they're using the word wrestling, work, and shoot in the cold open. They're doing all the things that Vince hated. I believe that if I'm remembering correctly from earlier today and watching that cold open, they used the word carnival, which is close to carny.
That's correct. Correct. They gave the origin of the business. It was the origin of the business. They went back to explain like all of this and why we're here today in 2025. But I thought that was a great main event. And by the way, just asking, so you guys would keep it just the way it was, right? You would not do Roman solo last. You think the main event was perfect the way it was?
Yes. I think the only reason, and we talked a little bit about this on Thursday, I thought the reason that Roman Solo would have gone on last is because Rock would have had some sort of involvement in the tribal combat, picking a side, which I guess he did at the end by picking Roman. Or just because he's the high chief, you know, he's the one who presented the Ulafala, who knows? But I thought that would be the reason, is that somehow Rock was going to get involved and then that can continue going forward. With no Rock involvement, they made the right decision.
Yeah, 100%. Because that ending and, yeah, Rock choosing a side but not turning or anything, like, that's deflating. That took the crowd out of it. Like, even the reaction, like, they were into Roman winning, but then Rock does his thing and everyone's like, well, go ahead. Are you going to rock bottom or are you going to get it? And it's like, oh, no? Like, that's it? Like, that's not how you want to end it. The crowd was into Punk and Rollins, and those two delivered.
I love the Polynesian Samoan heritage, the point where I think all three of us should sign up, because we have our name, a wrestling name, and then a name if you become like a tribal chief. Like Dwayne Johnson's like three or four different people now. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, four names.
And he got the Maui plug in there. Yeah. Like he was doing a lot of working tonight.
Yeah. I didn't catch what they were calling them, but I know that because he's tribal chief now, he's got a different. Is Darren something? I forgot what it was, but it was pretty cool. Got another name.
And then that? Roman throws out January 27th, so 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. So that's the Raw before
the Rumble.
Rumble. So do we think that means he's entering the Rumble?
Do you think he should?
Well, now that he's got if he's got the Ulafala back, there's only one other thing that's important to him. He's the tribal chief. The only thing that matters to him is being the undisputed WWE champion, or maybe the world championship, I guess. But I'm assuming the undisputed championship's the only one he actually cares about. And the easiest way to go about getting that back would be to...
Yeah, it's Cena match. We learned that tonight.
And don't forget the Punk favor.
Yes.
Don't forget about that. So I'm sure the favor is, can I get a title shot against Cody or something along those lines? There's a reason why Punk has got a favor with Heyman. So does he step in front of Roman to get that title shot?
And they keep mentioning it, so they make sure you're not forgetting about it. Solo mentioned it on Friday. Roman, like, I don't see a clear path to Mania for Roman right now, like an obvious opponent. I know we talked about Punk, but then we said Punk Rollins, like, which is good.
I think Punk makes the most sense, but the only way it makes sense for the two of them is to have a championship involved. Like, just from a strict storyline perspective, like, could Punk and Roman have a Mania match without one? Yes. But from a Punk, I'm here to make money and win championships, and Roman, the way the OTC is, they're not going to fight just to fight. They're fighting for a championship. That's the only way that makes sense. And I don't know how to make that make sense. I don't know how to connect those dots to get us to Vegas where those two are wrestling for a championship when neither one of them is a world champion right now.
One thing for sure, guys, is that with WWE in 2025 moving forward, the hope is that they can keep their 6-8 storylines straight and make it make sense, because, oh my God, they got a lot of platforms. Because they already had the promotion for Saturday Night's Main Event later on this month. So you've got that. And it's again, whether we watch it, it's skippable. The point is, though, is that you have to let these stories connect. And so you've got a lot of platforms and a lot of plate spinning to make sure this is all great and we all don't get burned out on it.
Yeah. And again, yeah, you've got that. You've got Friday nights on SmackDown where that is, that's going to be 3 hours here for the next handful of months.
Hunter sort of dropped that they're going to go back to 2 hours at some point.
Yeah, that got past Pat McAfee somehow. I mean, there's news right there, news. And Pat, you know, Pat says keep talking because that's what he does. He got to keep talking. Like, how about a pause there? Like, wait, Hunter, are you saying that at some point it's going back to 2 hours? Like this? How about just like a follow up? Well, can't ask him to do it because
We also learned tonight, Chad Gable next week to face a mystery luchador. Because as we all know, he struggles with luchadors. I missed that part of the storytelling.
Well, so clearly that's Penta, right?
Yes.
Sure, but I didn't know that that was a story.
It just made it seem like it's so obvious.
Is he one for 30? Is he 1 for 31 against Rey Mysterio?
I don't know.
What is that? Okay. I mean, all right. Well, at least we got that. How about all the stars, boy? Everyone got a seat, whether it's upstairs in the luxury suites or right there on the floor. Pretty cool. Pretty cool that all these stars came out to Los Angeles to check this out. Even Bill Simmons with a nice view of everything right there with his Celtics phone. But again, no one does it like the WWE. We love all professional wrestling, but it's just there's levels to this when it comes to having star-studded events like the WWE had tonight.
Shocked Becky didn't show up?
Yeah, so 3 hours, you had time to be able to at least show her a little hello, something that she's still around, a heartbeat, but maybe she's in San Jose next week.
I thought she might show up after Rhea had won and cleared the ring and during her celebration. I thought there was a chance for that. Obviously didn't happen, but still plenty of time. Maybe they're saving some of that instead of throwing all the stars out on night one, try to save that and spread it out as we continue on the Netflix era.
What if IC title match next week, Lyra wins, and then she comes out to like congratulate her?
Could be.
Right.
Yeah, you got time. You got time. Hey, man, figure it out. There's going to be some people we saw Cena now, Charlotte at some point, Becky at some point. You saw it was on the road to WrestleMania. What did Cole say? 103 days to WrestleMania.
Surprising to hear.
103 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got time to be able to tell these stories. Juan Martinez is right. The drone shots were cool. Again, something different from a production standpoint we've seen from WWE.
Also pretty funny in the comments. Yeah. Pretty unanimous. Everyone enjoyed Hogan getting booed.
That's the highlight. Gabe's right. Just the idea. And I hope Jimmy Hart, 80-year-old Jimmy Hart, hope he understands. It's not you, Jimmy.
It's not you, Jimmy.
It's not you, Jimmy.
You, bud.
I mean, you're 80 years old and had an Old Glory. I mean, you can still carry it. I mean, it's amazing. You still carry it. That was
he
all
even
Hogan,
tried
man.
So hard to just name drop to get the cheap pops. Like, Savage, Andre. Like, nope, we're going to ignore all that. Like,
we're going to pull you through this. I'm surprised he made it through the promo.
Maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe he didn't notice.
I mean, it was a decade ago that he called the Superdome the Silverdome. Like, that was already 10 years ago at this point. Yeah, I thought there was a chance he wouldn't make it through that one, but he somehow did. I don't know if Hunter's going to run him out there and again anytime soon after what we saw tonight. But
you never know.
You never know, I guess, since they have their deal with All American Beer. We will continue to recap. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of reaction off of this, but we still haven't really talked about SmackDown. We haven't talked about AEW, but we will do that on our typical show on Thursday nights, which comes your way at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you check out our YouTube page, comment, subscribe, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. See all the different interviews we've done over the past couple of years that GKW has been around. Raw on Netflix is in the books. We'll recap the rest of the week in professional wrestling on Thursday here on GKW.